music you heard was from Steve Halperin's album, Gift of the Angels, and the cut you heard was Awakening. I played this particular piece because on the show tonight, we have two angels who are attempting to awaken us all to the appalling acts of violence that's being passed off as health care. And we are expected to just embrace these dangerous demands without objection. So we're going to meet these two angels in a minute. The show is Vocal Profiling Live. I'm your host, Sherry Edwards. And on this show, we usually ask the audience to call in and give us a vocal sample so that we can help them answer questions about their love and life. And using the frequencies found in their speech patterns, we're able to tell them a lot about what's going on with their health and their emotions and their personality. We're not going to be doing that tonight. We'll be bringing it back next week. We are going to talk a bit about vocal profiling. A few weeks ago, we were asked to provide a vocal profile for Glenn Ivory, the Maryland Attorney General, who was forcing parents to vaccinate their children or face jail time. Glenn Ivory's information is lengthy, and I'm going to just read a bit of it. And then we're going to talk with Dr. Rebecca Carley. Rebecca, are you on the line with us?
Yes, I am.
Rebecca Carley is an expert and a champion of our rights not to be molested and damaged by unwanted and unwarranted immunizations. Also on the phone with us is Ralph Fusatola. He's been with us many, many times. He's an angel and an attorney. Sounds kind of incongruous, doesn't it? Who has spent his life defending our health rights and freedoms, and they don't seem to be much in existence. Ralph can only be with us a short time. Thank you, Ralph, for being here.
Hello. Thank you, Sherry, for having me.
Ralph, you did a show in which you were talking about Glenn Ivory and that whole situation. I'll just read a couple of things here. If you want, I'm only going to read a short piece of this evaluation of his voice. And if you want to see it in its entirety, you can go to NutraSounds.com, N-U-T-R-A, sounds, plural, NutraSounds.com. Or you can see this on our BBS Radio site. Just go to BBSRadio.com, go to Station 2, look at Thursday nights, and just click on the show information. Okay, this is about Glenn Ivory. And, Ralph, you're familiar with this because you've already read it. But we did two profiles for him that were very, very similar, and this means that this man is consistent in what he's speaking about, which is appalling. We did this from a YouTube interview where they were interviewing him about having these children inoculated without telling the parents they had an alternative. So the humanitarian issue, this is straight from his chart. The humanitarian issues dealing with these forced vaccinations or jail time show a less than average amount of integrity. This means he's not going to do much from a justice perspective alone. He will wait for a more advantageous point of view. The most active issues deal with him reaching out beyond himself to get something done only if it will create harmony. There's some physical commitment of energy, but not much, especially if it interferes with his own need to be perceived as having power to address the situation. The guiding force here is balance with a bare touch of justice. Now, his directive to put these parents in jail has led the way to an epidemic of community officials who are attempting to follow suit. We're going to talk about these kinds of situations. Ralph, you did a show on another not another network, but you did a show based on this on a Sunday night show. And then you found out something about Mr. Ivory. Can you talk about that? That he didn't have his, about his own kids?
Well, yes, according to what we found out, the county attorney, the state's attorney, uses the exemptions that are available in law to prevent his own children being vaccinated. The report that we got from the people who were physically at the scene of this atrocity was that the parents were not in any meaningful way counseled on what legal exemptions were available. But even more shocking on that day when the public was excluded from the courthouse You know, if there had been a, if in some other country, the government had hauled in thousands of parents, threatening them with jail if they, their children weren't given medical treatments, and if the public were excluded from the hearings, Amnesty International and groups like that would be screaming loudly over the injustice. We think this is exactly that type of situation. Not NGO groups, non-governmental organizations, were not allowed in as observers. Independent physicians were not allowed in as observers. And from what we can tell of that event, the parents were not counseled on the exemptions, and no parent was asked by any doctor, did your child have a reaction to a previous vaccination? That is the absolute minimum that a physician has to know before prescribing a vaccination. Because if there was a previous reaction, then the physician should not prescribe the vaccination. Now, vaccinations are prescription drugs. They're not candy you're supposed to, you can get at the corner store. But the court treated them that way. These parents were hauled in with their kids, a lot of crying children. The judge said it was cute. Yeah, that's the actual quote. It was cute. It was like the parents were bringing their children to church. And, of course, it is. There is a sort of a pharmaceutical religion in this society, that if the pharmaceutical companies say this is what it should be, then the government has to enforce it. It's a very strange circumstance in which this one
If I could just add two things to that, Sherry and Ralph. What Ralph is saying is totally correct. Not only that, it's, as Ralph said, this is a medicine. It has to be prescribed. The judge is practicing medicine without a license, first of all, just ordering these children to be inoculated. But another thing that you didn't mention was the fact that, as it turns out, many of these children actually had had their inoculations, and the school lost the records. And rather than spend the time to verify and validate that the children had received their inoculations, the judge just ordered those children to get them again. So, of course, if those children that had reactions to the first set then got another round, I mean, I wonder if there's any way to follow up on these children. I would love to go there and see how many of them are dead now, how many of them are paralyzed, how many of them have whatever kind of problem. This is just beyond comprehension. And as Ralph said, Amnesty International definitely would be involved if this was happening anyplace else. This is torture of these parents to have their very children's custody be threatened if they don't bow and lick the boots of these masters ordering them to get inoculations.
Ralph, did they manhandle these parents or just...
it was like a cattle call. That's what the description is. We, our D.C. agent, Natural Solutions Foundation, has an educational agent in the District of Columbia to help us deal with Congress. His name is Charlie Frohman. He's wonderful. He represents some yoga institutes and some organic food groups and that sort of thing. He's very good and very, very understanding. And he was there at the courthouse that day. He says that there were armed guards with police dogs, that the public was kept behind yellow police lines. One woman who was there to videotape this was approached by the police and told to leave, that she couldn't videotape it. She was there to videotape it because her own son was autistic as a result of a vaccination.
Did any news media, did they get any national news media or sympathy from this?
There was a lot of chatter on the internet, and there was some national media, but the national media really treated it as, isn't this good? You know, the state's attorney and the judge are making these parents do their duty. There was an editorial in one magazine, one newspaper in the Midwest, attacking Charlie Frohman because of his principal stand against compulsory drugging. So, you know, there's a strong group of opinion in this society that whatever Big Pharma, what's good for Big Pharma is good for the USA. And, this insult in Maryland has been reinforced in our minds by what happened in New Jersey just a few days ago. After on his way out as commissioner of health, the New Jersey commissioner of health signed an order mandating the flu vaccine for toddlers be before they can go into nursery school, because he wanted to do it so that mothers would not lose time at work. That was his purpose. Mandating the shooting of toddlers with the flu vaccine, we know that at least 80% of all flu vaccines still have mercury in it. So even, you know, leaving aside the attack and the insult of the flu vaccine itself, this is a vaccine that's known to contain a dangerous toxin, or at least much of it contains that toxin. We were quite shocked. There's a strong movement of people to stop it. There were people at the public hearing before the administrative law judge. They presented 5 volumes of scientific evidence against vaccination. That evidence was ignored. The procedure that was used didn't really conform to New Jersey law, and it will be challenged in court. And anyone who wants to join us in challenging it, please go to www.globalhealthfreedom.org and sign up to the e-alert list. There'll be a lot of activity this coming year in both Maryland and New Jersey and anywhere else in the country where the pharmaceutical interests are trying to push more mandatory vaccination. One New Jersey assemblywoman has introduced a conscientious objector statute, a bill to give everyone the right to refuse vaccinations. Used everywhere in the country.
Ralph, did any of these
people are really concerned.
Ralph, did any of these parents elect to go to jail rather than have their kids given these inoculations?
None that I know of have elected to go to jail.
So this is becoming now not only in Maryland, but it fell over into New Jersey, and this is a school official doing this. Was the school officials pushing the one in Maryland too?
Yes. What happened is Maryland was losing, this school district was losing $114,000 a day in federal and state aid because these couple of thousand kids were not in school. This was done purely for that reason.
So the government is doling out money to the school district in an attempt to force these vaccinations to feed these pharmaceutical companies that are making everybody ill, and so they can sell them. It's disgusting.
I think you've got it exactly, Sherry. That's exactly what's going on.
Carl,
all based on the evil, un-American notion that the government to do what's good for them. And I want you to know, that's a notion that our United States Supreme Court has specifically rejected. In the important case of Thompson versus Western States Medical Centers, the Supreme Court, Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, before she retired, one of her greatest decisions, she wrote, "We've rejected the notion that the government has the right to prevent people from making what the government thinks are bad decisions based on truthful information." And we now have a situation where people are being forced to make bad decisions.
Ralph, in Maryland, was it a flu virus, or is the one in New Jersey, is a flu vaccination, is that a new one that's not been mandated before?
Hey, this is the first time in the country's history that anyone has mandated a flu vaccine. This is the first mandated flu vaccination. And it prepares the way for national forced vaccination in the event of a false flag bird flu epidemic.
Is there any evidence that a flu vaccination does any good, or any evidence that it's efficacious? Dr. Carley?
Well, if I could just comment on that. First of all, the answer is no. There's actually been studies I have in front of me, one that was done in Ontario to determine whether the incidence of the influenza there decreased following the introduction of their universal influenza immunization campaign in 2000. They did this study in 2006, and they found, and I quote, "Despite increased vaccine distribution and financial resources towards promotion, the incidence of influenza in Ontario has not decreased following the introduction of this program."
So there's a lot of literature. There's a lot of pro and... Go ahead.
In September 24th of 2007, The Lancet, which is one of the main medical journals, actually questioned the benefits of the flu shots for elderly people and stated themselves that the benefits of the flu vaccine are greatly exaggerated. And what Ralph said is totally correct. And this is what they're doing. The bird flu vaccine will cause the bird flu pandemic that will give these minions an excuse to put us into martial law. President Bush has already written an executive order that if there's martial law in effect next November, there will be no elections. So it's kind of obvious where we're going here. And I want to just add also that according to
over across the street. Is he using electric lawnmower or is he using gasoline lawnmower?
Electric.
Thank you.
Greetings, Earth Explorers. Welcome to X-Squared Radio, where the past meets the future. Your host, Brooks Agnew, believes everything we do will eventually affect the universe. He's trying to do that on purpose each Sunday from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the BBS Radio Network. Come where the results are always positive. Explore the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. We might go a little past your imagination, but have no fear. You'll be safely traveling with us. Keep your arms inside the vehicle, recline your chair, and look out the window as we launch. X Squared Radio.
Knocked down, the phone lines of BBS went down, so there's a big hole in the show. I don't know how much of it you heard. Ralph, could you repeat some of the wonderful information you just gave about getting in touch with Global Health Freedom and everything that's happening there? I don't think anybody heard it.
Let me start by saying, first of all, it's a real privilege being on the air with you and with Dr. Carley. Rebecca Carley is definitely one of the true health and freedom heroes of this era. And she knows more about vaccination and more about the truth about vaccination than almost anyone else out there. So it's great to have her with us. We were talking when we were knocked off the air about what people can do to affect this situation politically. First of all, every parent has to do everything they can to qualify for whatever exemptions are available. That's number one. Parents need to focus on protecting their kids. But aside from that, and certainly we want to help people do that, we're putting together an ebook, which will be available in January, on how people can qualify for exemptions in the various states. So number one, protect the children. Number two, we ask people to go to globalhealthfreedom.org, to the website, and sign up for the email list. The e-alert list is becoming very effective. There are a couple of 100,000 people on it now, and those people have been having an influence on the state and national level. On that website, you'll see a take action item where you can click on a link, and it'll ask you what your zip code is, and it'll actually allow you to go in touch with your state legislators and your national legislators and demand that they adopt a law like the law that has been adopted in 28 states already, allowing for conscientious objection to vaccination. 48 states allow religious exemptions. 28 states allow conscientious objection. In New Jersey, there's one brave assemblywoman by the name of Vander Valk, who introduced in this last legislature a bill, and she's pre-introduced for the new legislature that's coming in January, which will have 40 new members, by the way. We're going to do our best to educate those new members on the importance of adopting this law. There will be a conscientious objector law in New Jersey, and we want to see one in every state. That's one of the main political goals we have this coming year, true conscientious objection laws in every state, including the national level. I am very aware, as Dr. Carley pointed out, there are a number of presidential declarations which, during a period of president self-proclaimed emergency, could be used to force people to be vaccinated. So one of the things we were talking about after we were forced off the air was what people can do to protect themselves in the event they're forced to be vaccinated.
You were talking about a Tiburon meeting, too.
Yeah, but we also discussed briefly the emergency meeting that was held over Thanksgiving weekend in California of various health and freedom advocates, which issued a declaration, the Tiburon Declaration, that calls for an end to all compulsory vaccination and pledges the organizations and individuals involved to work to get Congress and the states to adopt exemption laws. And that's also available if you go to globalhealthfreedom.org. You'll see a link to the Tiburon Declaration. But maybe Dr. Carley could help us a little bit with this one. We were talking a little bit about what happens if you know you're going to be forced to be vaccinated. We were talking about quercetin and vitamin C, and we were talking about how to detoxify the body afterwards. I mean, these are, things that people need to now know about, because no matter what we do, in the event of a proclaimed national emergency, we may all be forced to be vaccinated at the point of a gun. We've seen it already in Maryland. And so I don't know, Dr. Carley, do you want to tell us about what we can do to protect ourselves medically when this assault is done? How do we deal with the assault after it's over?
Well, I personally will not allow myself to be inoculated because it's the principle of the thing, and I will suffer the consequences of that, whatever that may be. However, if
you're saying it is better to go to jail than to be vaccinated.
Yes, yes. Out of principle. You see, because if enough of us just said no, they wouldn't be able to pull this off. There aren't enough jails to put all the people into if they would stand up for their rights and refuse to be inoculated, because it's not even just the bird flu situation. There's going to be microchips. There's going to be DNA chips. They're altering our very genetic structure. So we're talking about the genocidal aspects of this, the decrease of the population. And it's not even just the vaccines either. I just had a client of mine, her husband has MS. Actually, her husband's my client, but she's a nurse and she works in a hospital. And she called me today and told me that there's some patient on her floor that allegedly has the flu influenza A, and they're forcing all the nurses to either get the flu vaccine or take Tamiflu. And she asked me what I would do if I was her, and I told her I would do neither, so she was forced to go home. So it's not even just the vaccine. It's also the Tamiflu drug, and there's many different businesses now that are putting out questionnaires asking their employees what will they do if they're asked to take Tamiflu. Tamiflu not only causes mutation of the bird flu virus, but it also has psychiatric side effects. There's been a number of people in Japan that have committed suicide after taking this flu drug, which is actually a psych drug. So in my opinion, people should just say no. If everybody just said no, just like happened a couple of years ago, if you remember, President Bush actually tried to get all emergency health care workers to be inoculated with a smallpox vaccine. And a few of them went along with the program. Many of them died from cardiac events. But so many of them said no that it just went away. And that's what I'm trying to get people to do. You see, if
that's
you don't
a very
have
good
the
strategy,
right here.
Doctor. And I hope the American people are brave enough to do it. If Americans were that brave, we could restore the republic.
Yes.
Well, I want to add something here, too. Several countries have asked us to give them frequency-based antidotes for bird flu. The Republic of Georgia was the first one. We gave those frequencies or told the U.S. government we had those frequencies, and they'd been tested not on bird flu but other kind of less severe influenza and proven to be valid. And I said, now, if you don't want these, there really isn't a threat, or you don't care if there is, or you're going to start coming after me. So the frequencies, the antidotes for the bird flu are here. People do have a way out of this threat if they think that's going to happen, so they need to get in touch with us. We'd like to hear from you in the audience. The phone number for U.S. and Canada, 888-228-4494. We already have several emails here, one of them, which is wonderful. Worldwide, 877-489-6350. 530-776-5154 is the local number. So I'd like to read this email because I think everybody needs to know about this. This has come from Vicky in British Columbia. Have any of you seen the movie The Legend with Will Smith? It is exactly what is going to happen if this is allowed to continue. The flu, then cancer, then obesity, then everything, then whatever, forever. We will be... all prey
Hello?
To these vicious animals who are supposed to be supporting us. I can't remember exactly, but there was a saying about Hitler, about he started with the smallest group, attacked them, and then another group until everything was annihilated. Thank God for people like Ralph and Dr. Carly. I don't have a question, just a comment of appreciation.
Thank you. We appreciate that, too. You know, yes. Hearing back from the public is very important. We need the feedback. We need to know that we're not just talking in the wilderness, but that people are beginning to listen and pay attention. And
well,
if people begin to pay attention, they will take back control over their own lives again.
Well, the Internet is wonderful. Just today I was looking up flu shots and flu reactions. The horror stories from these flu shots are just, they're unbelievable. One lady got a shot and had the flu for 2 years and couldn't work and lost her house, and her doctor was forcing it on her. I just had a kid in here this week that had juvenile type diabetes, and when I traced it down, it was thimerosal. I couldn't hardly believe that, and then I started looking. Well, I could totally believe it, but I didn't know it was diabetes could be caused. Then I found an article about how mercury damages pancreatic cells, and it's research in Taiwan. It's a, I hope I don't butcher this name, Xinghua Liu, Xinghualiu, but they proved that mercury attacks the pancreatic cells. And I started looking. There's a an absolute surge of juvenile diabetes. So
well,
here
if
we
I
go.
Just
right.
Comment on that, Jerry. I'm not saying that mercury doesn't damage the pancreas, but insulin-dependent diabetes is an autoimmune disease, and that's caused by the very mechanism by which the vaccines corrupt the immune system. And I've seen a huge surge in insulin-dependent diabetes since the chickenpox vaccine. But I want to just comment on two things that you said, because it's so important what you said about frequencies being available to heal the bird flu. There's also homeopathics for the bird flu and simple colloidal silver. So what people
That's right.
have to realize is that there's another agenda afoot here. What was the Army Institute of Pathology doing going to Alaska and digging up dead bodies of people that died in the 1918 alleged Spanish flu epidemic, which has the book Vaccinations, the Silent Killer by Ida Onaroff and Eleanor McBean proved was actually due to inoculations given to soldiers in World War I. But what is our scientists, our mad scientists, what are they doing by drudging up these deadly viruses? And isn't it funny how now this bird flu epidemic is coming about? People don't realize that we have 409 biological warfare laboratories in this country. That's more than 8 per state. The way that they transport their deadly viruses from one lab to another is by Federal Express. So while people are waiting for Osama and his box cutters to, drop some deadly biological agent on us, we're much more likely to have an infection spread throughout a community by an accident by a Federal Express driver. But you see, there are natural ways to reverse the flu. I don't care what brand it is. And that is the reason that you have to realize, folks, there's another agenda afoot here. This is not about protecting the people. There's too many easy ways to protect the people. And where did this flu come from? Not to mention the fact that Tamiflu, a drug where Donald Rumsfeld is going to make millions of dollars off of this drug because he owns stock in the company that developed it, it's known to mutate the flu virus. And that's supposed to be what they're afraid of, is that the virus will mutate and go from animals to people. So when you really start to check these things out, it becomes a little obvious that there is another agenda afoot here, especially when Bush wrote his executive order to stop the elections if there's martial law. People have to start looking at this. Yes.
We had something about that on the show. I just looked up a movie review of the legend. It says, Will Smith and the Dangers of Playing God with Food and Medicine. Sounds wonderful. Somebody hadn't sent that in. I wouldn't have thought the legend was about our health freedom.
Right. He's the last man left on Earth. He's immune in a plague that wipes out most of the rest of the human race. As always, Hollywood tries to prepare us for what Hollywood's masters are planning.
Yes. Ralph, I know that Ron Paul is against forced vaccinations. You've been working with him to put a bill together.
Yep. He specifically has opposition to forced drugging in his health freedom plank in his platform. He's the only presidential candidate who has formally adopted a health freedom plank in the platform that they're supporting. And that plank is very strong, and he's very much against this entire process, as a physician and as a and as an American.
And of course,
well,
the way that they're trying. If I could just say, Sherry, because this is so important, and I hear this all the time. I listen to C-SPAN every morning just to see what the sheep are thinking. They show Washington Journal where people can call in. And whenever Ron Paul is brought up, what's always said by the minions that are commentators as guests on that show is that he'll never win. And so this is what they're trying to do. No matter how popular he's becoming as the internet movement grows and he's getting millions of dollars in contributions at the grassroots level, what they're trying to make people believe is that there's no point in voting for him because he's never going to win anyways. So a vote for him is actually, breaking up the Republican vote, and you're going to end up with Hillary. So people
we're
have
not,
to stop.
We're not that stupid,
now,
though.
Ron Paul has already won. He already won by setting into motion a political movement that is going to last way beyond this election. The movement to restore the Constitution and restore the Republic is becoming stronger. And and the mass media is going to have a very hard time ignoring it. And I think that we're going to see that over the next few months.
Well, just the fact that he's doing record fundraising without much effort. People are just coming to him and dropping money at his feet. I think it's great. We have two questions here I think are really important.
Okay.
One, the human race got along without these necessary shots for centuries and thrived. Why are they deemed necessary now? This is from Richard of Good Hope. It doesn't really say if that's a hospital or a place or whatever. But
well, I'll answer
he's right.
that because inoculations are corrupting the immune system and causing all autoimmune disease and cancer. And so that's how corrupt my profession has become, that they're actually causing disease. And, of course, the pharmaceutical cartels are then creating drugs to cover up the symptoms, enriching themselves to the tune of billions and billions of dollars. And so the pharmaceutical cartels are completely in charge of medical education and medical treatment now, and that's the reason that this whole inoculation superstition has gotten to the point where it is. It has nothing to do with health.
I agree with you entirely, Doctor. It has nothing to do with health. It has a lot to do with politics, and when you look at our society has a group of experts in risk management. They're called the insurance industry, and the insurance industry refuses to insure vaccination. Now, the guys who run the insurance industry are the risk experts. And they analyze a lot of risks. If you want to be a skydiver, well, you pay a little higher premium and you can get insured. It's always a matter of just raising the premium to cover the risk. But they've determined, using the best modern risk analysis available to the largest insurance companies in the world, that they will not insure vaccination. It is an uninsurable risk. That's the risk that the politicians and the pharmaceutical industry are forcing on the American population. Now, because it's an uninsurable risk, and it's illegal for publicly traded companies to invest in uninsurable risks, something had to be done. And since what's good for Big Pharma is good for the USA, Congress passed a law making it illegal for us to sue if we're harmed by vaccination. Instead, there's something called the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program that gives out money to the families of kids who were murdered or maimed or destroyed by vaccination. They've given out $2 billion so far to cover up the real cost of vaccination, what it's doing to the children. Same VICP program has over 5,000 cases pending of children who were made autistic by vaccination. So vaccination is bad medicine, bad science, bad public policy, and an uninsurable risk. Why is it still happening?
There's a question that came in. Who is behind this? Is money the only motive?
Well, Dr. Carley tells us that there's a genocidal intent. And, it is true that there's a certain group, a certain section of the ruling circles who think there's too many people on this planet, and they want to do whatever they can to reduce the population.
I have testimony of Henry Kissinger in front of Congress where he talked about decreasing the population being a national security issue. So
I didn't hear the first of that, Dr. Carley. Can you start over?
Yes, I have transcripts of Henry Kissinger testifying in front of Congress as to the fact that decreasing the population is a national security issue. And I want to also just comment on what Ralph said because it's so important about this risk management issue in regards to vaccines. There's only three things, to my knowledge, that insurance companies will not insure against, and that is acts of God, war, and vaccination. So
and nuclear power.
How bad it is.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah.
And that should tell us all a world of what's really going on.
Well, I read these articles and it says they don't cause damage. I have two damaged grandchildren, or they were. They aren't anymore because we fixed them. But I saw it, and one of them got a shot and started bleeding internally, and we were freaked out because you couldn't touch her without, making a big bruise. And I rushed her to the hospital, and I didn't even stop at the desk. I run back to the back office where I knew the doctors there, and I just handed her over. And yes, she was ill and she was bleeding internally, but that doctor knew immediately what was happening to her and stopped it. Now, in the literature, it says it's very rare. If it's so rare, how did he know immediately without me even telling him what went on?
She was in anaphylactic shock.
Yes.
No, that's called idiopathic thrombocytopenic purpura. That's where you develop antibodies against your own platelets. And the reason he knew it is because, bruising to that extent, that's what it is. It's an obvious situation. But I just want to mention, because that's so important what you said, Sherry, in terms of it being rare. The CDC itself admits that less than 10% of vaccine reactions are even reported. And, of course, the reason for that is because when your child goes into a high-pitched screaming or seizures or whatever the case may be after a vaccine, and you take them to the pediatrician refuses to admit it's from the vaccine. They say it's just a coincidence that the vaccine was just given in a recent time period. And as far as Ralph saying that they stayed out
of beating the child or of harming the child.
Yeah, that's another thing they do.
There are a lot of so-called shaken baby syndrome cases that are really vaccine reactions.
Exactly. And as far as Ralph pointing out all the money that the Vaccination Compensation Fund has paid out, I want to point out that the hoops you have to jump through for that fund to pay you damages is immense. They have a special master. They will only allow vaccine cases in where their timeline has been met. In other words, if your reaction occurs more days out than they say is possible from a vaccine, they just dismiss your case. And, of course, the other thing people have to realize is that the taxpayers are paying for that damage. Just like Ralph said, the pharmaceutical companies are out of that loop. We're paying for the damage done to our children because the state is forcing us to inoculate them with vaccines that have never been proven safe, never been proven effective. That's the situation.
That's the bottom line. It's amazing that a society can allow itself to be hoaxed this long with this much disastrous effect.
I'm seeing this in older people, too, particularly older men. We're looking at peripheral neuropathy, and it's raging here, and we've traced it back to the measles vaccine, and once we detoxify them, the peripheral neuropathy, the numbness of the hands and feet, goes away.
So that's due to demyelination, and that's explained in my response to the CDC on drcarly.com. And autism is actually subacute sclerosing panencephalitis. They changed the name to hide the fact that it's due to demyelination, and that's what shows you that they know exactly what's going on. It has nothing to do with the mercury, not that mercury is not bad, but this demyelination is responsible for all of these neurological conditions. And eventually, I will prove that vaccine-induced diseases is the biggest epidemic the world has ever known. In fact, it encompasses the entire field of internal medicine. It's all vaccine-induced
Dr. Carly, making the rounds of the Internet right now is an interview from 2005 with a Dr. Hillman, who was one of the chief vaccination doctors in one of the major pharmaceutical companies. And he was being interviewed on tape for historical archives, and he admitted that the polio vaccine was being tested. When it was tested, they knew it contained contaminants that would cause cancer, and they gave it to millions of kids in Russia specifically anyway.
Yeah.
So,
and he actually joked about it.
The true nature of these people is being exposed. And I believe we are in the very beginning of an opportunity to stop compulsory vaccination. I think there's going to be a groundswell of anger, and it's going to wipe away this hoax completely. completely.
Dr. Carley, tell people about your radio show and how people can get in touch with you and get more information.
Thank you. Yes, I have a show right before Sherry's called What's Ailing America, also on BBS Radio, Station 2 at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on right on this very same network. And my contact information is on my website, my email, and my phone number. My website is drcarley.com, drcarley.com. And I just want to mention I've had a $10,000 reward on my website for over a year and a half for any vaccine promoter or mercury disinformer to prove that my documents are wrong. And, of course, they can't because I've found the information in the medical books themselves to prove that vaccinations corrupt the immune system. And in my opinion, this is the most important thing that we can do right now is to wake people up about this issue. If you don't have your health, you have nothing. And once you realize that the government is forcing us to destroy our children for them to go to school, then you can start to look at some of the other conspiracy realities that are happening in this country.
Ralph, you have a lot of information on your site about vaccinations also. How can people get in touch with you?
Sure. My personal website is vitaminlawyer.com, and I do have a section on vaccination information. And I urge people to go to globalhealthfreedom.org, sign up on the e-alert system, because we're going to be getting more information out. And if you're on that email list, you'll get the information.
Okay.
Thank you, Sherry, very much for letting me on tonight. Thank you, Dr. Carley, for being who you are and for being our champion.
Here's another,
thank you.
Ralph, one more question. We're not going to answer it. We don't have time, but something's going to come up about it. It's from Rachel in Middleton. Please tell me why the government is allowing pesticide companies to pay parents to deliberately expose their children to toxic chemicals to see if there will be any mutations. This is sick. What we've talked about on this whole show that's happening from the government forcing us and drug companies and insurance companies, the whole thing is sick. And I want everybody to stand up and say, no more, I'll go to jail. You know, and Dr. Carley and Ralph, I'll be happy to meet you there.
Okay.
We got to go. Our
Thank
time's
you,
up. Thank you, guys.
Good
Thank
night.
You.